It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. The weekend economic summit in France is over. President Ford and Secretary of State Kissinger are back home. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The President and Secretary of State arrived back in Washington Monday night. Kissinger said that the most important thing which came out of the weekend sessions was an agreement between France and the United States to resolve a long dispute over currency exchange rates. Leaders of six free world industrial nations met during the talks outside Paris. They agreed to cooperate in bringing to an end the deepest economic slump since the 1930s. Spain's Francisco Franco is reported to have suffered new internal bleeding. A member of his medical team and members of Franco's household rushed to his bedside Tuesday morning. The 82-year-old Franco has been gravely ill for several weeks, but has rallied each time he's taken a turn for the worse. More news in a moment.
If you enjoy wine with your meals, here's something you should know about wine before meals. Most wines go with your meals, but Dubonnet goes before. Think of it as an appetizer, a wine that's right for your appetite. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. The distinctive taste of Dubonnet before makes what comes after that much better. Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course. Product of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
Federal Energy Chief Frank Zarb says the energy bill now before Congress will probably not result in lower gasoline prices. Zarb says congressional claims the bill will mean a 3.5 cent a gallon rollback in gasoline and fuel oil prices cannot be substantiated. Senator Edward Kennedy on Monday said President Ford should go ahead and sign the bill.
I know that all of us wait with considerable interest President Ford's decision on whether he'll sign this legislation. Should he decide to veto this bill, as he has so many others, the president... oil price controls will expire, and we'll be faced with immediate and steep increases in the cost of fuel oil and gasoline.
The price controls Kennedy was talking about have just been extended for 1 month. They expire December 15th. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries is meeting in Vienna to discuss how they can use their oil wealth to help less fortunate countries. Iranian officials say OPEC is near agreement on a plan to set up a $5 billion aid and development funds to assist poorer countries. The Egyptians have started putting a recently reacquired asset to work. The story reported by John Sheehan in Egypt.
Egypt has started pumping Sinai oil for the first time in 8 years. The first stage of the Israeli pullout from occupied Egyptian territory along the Gulf of Suez returned to Egypt, the oil field at Ras Sudar. Over the next 2 weeks, further Israeli withdrawals under the interim peace agreement will give all the oil fields back to Egypt. Egyptian Minister of Petroleum Ahmed Ezzeldin Hilal officially took control of the Ras Sudar installation today. Pumps started feeding the oil through an underwater pipeline to an Egyptian tanker anchored a half mile offshore. The nearest Egyptian refinery is across the Gulf at Suez City. Until pipelines can be built, the Sinai oil will be taken across by ship. Egyptian officials say the return of the Sinai oil fields will make Egypt self-sufficient in petroleum within a year. John Sheehan, CBS News, Ras Sudar, Egypt.
The Senate has scheduled a vote for Tuesday on the nomination of Donald Rumsfeld as Secretary of Defense. Approval of Rumsfeld is expected. In Paris, former Black Panther leader Eldridge Cleaver says he is returning to the United States because he is, in his words, tired of sitting around. Cleaver says he will fly to New York on Tuesday after 7 years in exile. Cleaver says he is ready to face possible arrest and prison. He is wanted on a number of charges. CBS News continues in a moment.
You may feel it's an embarrassing subject, but since one out of every three people suffers hemorrhoid symptoms at some time, you should know about Preparation H. Preparation H gives prompt, temporary relief from occasional pain and itch in many cases. But Preparation H does more. Actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. With so many having the problem, it's comforting to know that Preparation H helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues. Ointment or suppositories, use only as directed.
Hi, world. Denny Brackett here with a man who can turn a gobbler into a gourmet feast. He can, Mike Roy. And that's, matter of fact, what he plans to do tomorrow on the cook thing here over CBS.
Right, you are, Denny. Both tomorrow and Wednesday, we'll continue to talk about how to prepare the good old Thanksgiving burger.
Couple.
Yeah, we'll cover them from stem to stern, tell you how to stuff them, and make the gravy to top off the yearly treat.
Well, hop on the Thanksgiving bandwagon, friends, as Mike Roy stuffs your bird. He does right here tomorrow on the cooking thing over the CBS radio network.
There was evidence Monday that some of the most powerful communist organizations in Western Europe are moving to become more independent of the Soviet Union. The French and Italian communist parties, the largest in the West, declared the right of every nation to choose its own political and social system without interference from outside. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
In Radio 97 News, four persons arrested near Ontario last week after a gunfight with police are scheduled to appear before U.S. magistrate in Portland tomorrow. Two of the suspects face charges of hindering federal efforts to apprehend fugitive American Indian Movement leader Dennis Banks and Leonard Peltier. The other pair include Banks' common-law wife, 20-year-old Darlene Nichols of Pine Ridge, South Dakota. Actor Marlon Brando has been linked to one of the vehicles Oregon State Police confiscated after that shootout near Ontario. A former owner of the motorhome, Frances Martin of Taos, New Mexico, says she sold the vehicle to Brando last summer. She told reporters that even though the vehicle's registration is still in her name, she sent the title to Brando. In her words, "I guess Brando must have given it to Dennis Banks." A Multnomah County court jury took a total of 10 hours to come to a decision that the motion picture Deep Throat is not obscene. The defendant in the case was Saul Maysles of Southeast Portland. The jury found in his favor by a vote of 10-2. After going into deliberations at 9:30 this morning, Maysles cannot be reached for comment at this hour. Mayor Neil Goldschmidt says he is thinking about asking the voters to approve a special levy that would give the city the money it needs to make some street repairs. The mayor said today, that the Economic Development Administration's refusal to grant Portland $50,000 forced him to consider the levy. Goldschmidt is thinking about a two-year, $2 million tax. Bonneville Power Administration has added its voice to others who are appealing a federal court decision that affected a proposed aluminum plant near Umatilla. The appeal involves a September decision in which federal judge Otto Scopel Jr. said BPA's contract with Alumax Pacific Corporation is valid but unenforceable because of the lack of an environmental impact statement. Appeal was filed in Portland's U.S. District Court today. The weather, clearing tonight, but cold. Temperatures will be in the low 30s as a high, possibly mid-20s in outlying areas, and the highs will be about 45 to 50. There will be some light winds tonight. The chance of measurable precipitation is near zero through Tuesday night, and the current temperature outside is 36 degrees. That's Radio 97 News. It's 11:08.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, missionary from the world of the mysterious and the macabre. Things would be better all around, easier certainly, if evil looked evil, sounded evil, smelled evil. Good and evil, it's reached a point where these days, to so many people, they appear to be so much alike.
How would you like to make an extra 15,000 or so a year, Stanley?
Who would I have to kill?
I don't know yet.
Hey, what kind of an answer is that?
A truthful answer.
You mean... you're offering me an opportunity to kill somebody for money?
Would you rather do it for nothing?
I wouldn't do it at all. Look, Frank, I don't want to hear one more word.
Okay, Stanley. I won't say one more word until you ask me. And you will ask me.
Our mystery drama, The Moonlighter, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Howard Da Silva. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Way back in 1876, it was brewed and aged to deliver a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability found in no other beer at any price. I'm talking about Budweiser. And it's still brewed that way today, with pride, without compromise, to be the king of beers. The largest selling beer in the history of the world, for one simple reason. That Beechwood-aged Budweiser taste. And that speaks for itself. Hear it talking?
When you say Bud, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers. There is no other one. There's only something left. Because the king of beers is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser, you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Share a ride with a friend. Share a smile when you're round the bend. Let somebody brighten up your day.
Share a ride with a friend. You ride together and the time you spend will speed along as you go your way.
Double up every morning. Double up going home at night. Double up together. It's a better way. You gotta have more fun together.
Talking about the latest stuff. We pass away the month. Glad that I'm not driving home alone.
Talking about the game last night. A guy made a play that was out of sight. It's nice to talk to someone going home.
Double up every morning. Double up going home at night. Double up every day. It's a better way. You're gonna have more fun together.
It's driving alone.
A public service of this station, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the Advertising Council.
So much talk these days about the quality of life and how it's gone down. I'm not prepared to argue the point one way or another, but one thing I admit has certainly gone down, and that's the quality of argument, especially between husbands and wives. It seems to me that husbands and wives used to have heated, passionate arguments over great emotional issues, love, faithfulness, even sex. Today, it's mostly been reduced to ill-tempered spats and tantrums over money. Oh, is this our brave new world? Is this what it all comes down to? Well, Stanley and Gladys Morrison are at it again.
Well, what answer do you get?
I don't know. I've added it 3 times and it keeps coming out differently.
Well, how can you concentrate on the figures with that damn recording blaring in your ears?
It is not a damn recording. It is Mozart.
I have to know how many checks you wrote this week.
Performed by the Boston Symphony.
I'd add it up myself, but I can't read your handwriting.
And, what's his name is conducting.
You went to the most expensive girls' private school. You went to the most exclusive girls' college.
Darling, you've got it twisted. The private school was exclusive. The college was expensive.
Didn't they teach you to write?
Stanley, why do you become so excited about money?
Gladys, I don't want the account to be overdrawn.
Your cheeks are all flushed. Your eyes are filled with fire. It's almost a sexual thing.
Gladys, listen to me.
But I've been listening, darling. And I have solved the problem. You don't want the checking account to be overdrawn? Well, let's just put in an extra $100 now and then to act as a sort of cushion.
In the first place, it's wrong. In the second place, I don't have an extra $100.
Oh, darling, you say that as if $100 is a fortune. I never heard you fuss like this over $100 before.
Gladys, we have to cut down.
Well, I do my best, darling.
Oh, okay. I guess it's not fair.
No, it certainly isn't.
You were brought up a rich girl. You never learned how to worry about money.
Well, darling, it did seem silly to worry about money. After all, there was so much of it.
And when you married me, I was making plenty of money, huh?
And you still are.
No. I'm not making that much anymore.
Stanley, do you mean you received a cut in salary?
No.
Well, then how can you say you're not making as much money?
Because the money isn't worth as much. We simply have to economize.
All right. I'm willing.
We have to sit down and draw up an entire list of ways to save money.
Okay. Here's one. At the club, I won't order from the a la carte menu. I just have a sandwich and coffee.
What we should do is resigned from the club.
What?
It's become very expensive.
Stanley, why suddenly? Are we... is everything so tight?
I don't know, Gladys. Things have been going up, 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 steadily, quietly, and one day you turn around and there just isn't enough money.
Why don't you ask for a raise?
A raise? Do you realize...
I realize that you're not getting paid what you're worth.
I'm not sure this is the right time.
All you have to say is, look, I must be paid more money. The dollar is worth only 57 cents now.
Oh, come on, Gladys.
That's what you told me it was worth. Say, look here, Chris. I have to resign from the country club. I'd take my daughter out of private school.
I can assure you that Chris Delavan couldn't care less whether I belong to a country club or send my daughter
I'm sure he does. That's the sort of man he needs. A man who travels in the kind of circles where he can meet potential customers.
Gladys, you should never ask your boss for a raise if you're not prepared to quit.
I know that.
Then you know I couldn't afford to quit.
I suppose not.
What does that mean?
Stanley, the minister said for richer, for poorer. I really wasn't paying much attention.
I'm sorry. It's the state of the economy.
No, I think it's the state of your mind. You are the most important man in that company.
Well, not really.
Why don't you ask for a raise?
I told you.
You didn't tell me the real reason. You're afraid.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Darling, this argument has lasted 6 minutes. If it goes on much longer, it will become a quarrel, then a conflict, which will lead to a rupture. And before we know it...
All right, all right. I'll see what I can do.
I know you will, Stanley, darling.
Chris, got a minute?
Sure thing, boy. What's on your mind, Stanley?
Well,
I just say... Wow.
What's the matter, Chris?
Oh, I'm beat. I need some coffee. You want a cup?
Okay.
Sally, bring in two coffees. Well, my boy, what can I do for you?
Chris, it seems to me...
Yeah,
that...
just a second. Sally, make mine black. Yeah, sure, Miss Louise. This one has to be told everything at least 400 times. Well, but that's my problem. what's your problem?
Well...
Hold it. How do you want your coffee?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Oh, Stanley, you're so easygoing.
Well, not anymore.
I wish I had your temperament, especially last night. Oh, that was a session.
Well, Chris, I simply...
I really blew my stack last night, Stanley, and I guess I did it for you.
For me?
And for what I thought was best for this company. Chairman of the board took me to dinner. We had all this talk about the economy, how scarce money is.
And that's exactly why I...
Well, you know where that kind of talk leads. Where can we cut? And so old man Sullivan said, cut out the research department.
My department?
And do what, I asked. And he said, well, we can subscribe to outside services and get the same
information. No, but they can't get the same information, the same analysis.
Well, yeah, that's what took me the better part of 5 hours to hammer into his skull. Well, anyhow, you're safe for at least a year. But Stanley, you watch every dollar.
Okay, Stanley. Your turn. Hey, old buddy. You still have the eye. All six in the bullseye.
Just lucky, I guess. Hey, I see you have a new revolver, Frank.
Yeah, I picked me up a .357 Magnum.
Oh, that's a lot of gun.
Well, that's my motto. If you're going to have something, have a lot of it.
Yeah, but that's the kind of gun you use to kill people.
Well, that .38 of yours isn't exactly a little kid's water pistol either. come on, let's go somewhere and have a drink, huh?
I have to be getting home.
No. You come with me. I, have a serious matter to discuss. You know, Stanley, the only place I ever run into you these days is the pistol range. It's the only thing you haven't given up.
Ah, what are you talking about?
Well, nobody sees you anymore. You're never at the club for golf or tennis.
I've been busy.
Cora May says you and Gladys keep turning us down for dinner.
Well, we've had a lot of other things that are...
No, that's not the reason. You don't go out because you can't afford to return the hospitality.
Now, that's
the truth. And I've known it for a long time.
What? What do you think you know?
I know all the signs. I've been there myself. It's because there's no money. And suddenly your running expenses are draining you dry. And, well, you wonder how you'll live.
Oh, it's the times. These crazy, twisted times.
Still, we've got to live in these times. They're the only ones we'll ever have.
I have to have some more money. Maybe I can take on another job or
something. Where? And will Delavan and company take kindly to the head of their research department moonlighting? How would it look?
I don't know what to do, Frank. And Gladys, it'll kill her if it keeps up. No, you may laugh at that.
I'm not laughing.
She can't help the way she was brought up. And to me, it was so great that someone like her could fall for me. And you can laugh at that, too.
It isn't funny.
Sure, okay, we won't starve or even come close, but she can't have all the things she always took for granted. I mean, well, maybe it's wrong of her, maybe it's vanity, but, well, that's how she is.
I understand.
And then she won't leave me. And she'll always feel that I failed her, and I have.
Stanley, quit beating your breast and do something positive.
I tried. I was going to ask for a raise. Did Chris sense it? Did he finesse me? If it was a bluff, I just couldn't call it.
Look at me, Stanley. Now, I don't make as much money as you, and I've got just about the same expenses, okay? Well, I just bought myself this suit for 280 smackers. The car outside is brand new, and you know it's not cheap. Now, this summer, we spent a whole month in Europe. How do I do it?
You're in debt up to your ears.
No, not even for a nickel. Guess again.
You sold your soul to the devil.
Well,
what?
It's not a completely ridiculous answer.
What do you mean it's not a completely ridiculous answer?
There could be some truth to it.
Well, now I don't know what to say.
Well, you're on the right track.
Well, if that's the right track, that's as far as I want to go.
Suppose you could make yourself an extra $10,000 a year.
Doing what?
Tax-free.
Who would I have to kill?
I don't know. Yet.
What kind of an answer is that?
A truthful one.
Frank, do you know what you're saying?
Yes.
You're saying I would have to kill somebody.
That's right. Somebody who is, as yet, unknown.
Well, why would I want to kill anybody?
For money.
Oh, no.
You mean you'd do it for nothing?
I wouldn't do it at all.
That's what I had to find out.
Frank, do you mean you're tied up with... You're involved... Did you kill people?
Yes.
Yes. You sit there and you say yes so calmly. How can you say this to me? Aren't you afraid I'd go to the police?
No. In the first place, you're my oldest, closest friend. And I've taken you into my confidence.
Yeah, but this has to do with murder.
In the second place, what could you go to the police with? What could you prove? And in the third place, after you think this over, you'll want to know more about it.
Oh, no, Frank. I know too much right now. And I don't want to hear one more word.
Okay, Stanley. I won't say one more word. Until you ask me.
And so the seed has been planted. How like a growing thing a story is. In the first act, we plant the seed. In the second, we cultivate and water the soil. And in the third, we harvest the crop. What we don't know at this point is what kind of seed has just been planted. But something may start to flower when I return in just a few moments with Act Two.
Ooh, I thought I saw a pretty cat. I did see a pretty cat.
Hi, I'm Mel Blanc, and that's another of my thousand voices. And that's why they asked me to tell you about Lemon Mint Listerine Lozenges.
Because when your throat is hot and dry from a cold, they make it feel cool and soothed.
And Listerine's anesthetic medicine helps give fast,
beep, beep,
temporary relief from minor sore throat pain. Lemon Mint Listerine Lozenges. No matter how many voices you've got, you've only got one throat.
So you get Listerine Lozenges, folks.
Use only as directed.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system.
Did you know that the metric system is already being used in many aspects of American life? For example, prescription drugs are dispensed in milliliter and milligram quantities. Many packaged food contents are already listed in customary as well as metric units. And for more information on the metric system, write Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C., 20234.
First, the good news about the treatment of cancer. Through chemotherapy, which is the use of anti-cancer drugs to lessen pain and lengthen life for many, great progress has been made. Through chemotherapy, a child with leukemia, a woman with breast cancer, a senior citizen with a tumor, can bring a normal balance to their daily lives. Now the bad news. More research is desperately needed to find newer, even more effective anti-cancer drugs, and more programs to bring those treatments to everyone who needs help. You can be part of that research. You can be part of that help. Send a check today to the Chemotherapy Foundation. That's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation. Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. This is Beth Meyerson with a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
According to statistics, the majority of all arguments between husbands and wives are about money. Does this mean they don't have disagreements about other things? No. It only means they don't have long, drawn-out arguments about them. Money. They say it doesn't buy happiness. I suppose that all depends on what you mean by happiness.
Is that you, Stanley?
Yes, I'm home.
Hi.
What smells?
Oh, it's dinner. I'm afraid I burned it.
You burned it? Did you make dinner?
Of course.
What happened to Mrs. Soames?
Oh, well, I had to let her go.
You let her go?
Well, we have to save money, don't we?
Yes, but you can't even boil water.
Well, I'll have to learn.
Look, Gladys, we...
Stanley, for the past few months, you've been telling me how terribly tight money has become. Now, is it true?
Well, yes.
The club, Judy's private school, the extra car, the boat, Mrs. Soames. We simply cannot afford all of those things anymore. Can we?
Well, it has to do with this inflationary period. Perhaps soon things will become normal.
And perhaps they won't. Perhaps this will become the new normal. Since you are unwilling or unable to make more money, all this is merely idle chatter. Sit still, I'll get it. Hello? Yes, Coronet. Oh, fine. Tuesday night for dinner?
Tell her we'll be back.
Oh, darling, I'm sorry. We're tied up on Tuesday.
I said tell her we'll make
oh,
it.
Oh, I'd love to play Coronet, but I'm afraid this week is out. I seem to have developed a tennis elbow. But we'll get together. Let me call you. Right. Bye.
I said to tell her we'd accept that invitation.
I am not accepting any hospitality I cannot afford to return.
And you go out and play tennis and golf.
Stanley, what are you saying?
I'm saying I have killed myself these past 20 years so that I could enjoy some decent living. Well, nobody's going to take it away from me.
Well, Frank, dessert?
No, I don't want any dessert, and I don't want another cup of coffee or a liqueur. And we're the only ones left in the joint, so if you're ready to go, I am.
Frank, how can I make that extra $10,000 a year?
Well, actually, it could be much more than $10,000. Lately, it seems there's quite a bit of work.
Just tell me how.
The underworld, the mob, the syndicate, call it whatever you want. They're getting away more and more from using their own people as executioners.
Oh, good Lord. What kind of conversation am I having?
We can stop any time.
All right, let's stop. No. Go ahead.
And so, now, the trend is to look for respectable folk to do the job. People who would never be suspected. Look at me. An editor for a trade magazine. Now, who would ever suspect me? Look at you. A research analyst from a brokerage house. Who would suspect you?
It's this dealing with gangsters that scares me off.
You're not dealing with gangsters. This is a small private outfit created to fill a specific need.
Yeah, but still...
And their clientele isn't restricted to the underworld. You'd be absolutely amazed how many law-abiding, reputable, upright people require this kind of service. You know, there are times, it's unfortunate but true, when a well-placed bullet is the only solution to a problem.
But it's murder.
Yes.
I never killed anybody. The commandment says, thou shalt not kill.
You never killed anybody in Korea?
Oh, that was different.
Killing is killing.
But your conscience...
Each contract is worth between $2,500 and $3,000.
I thought it would pay a good deal more.
It does, in real value, when you consider it's tax-free. And, you might do 5, 6, even 7 a year. No more money problems.
Suppose you get caught.
How can you get caught? Why should anyone even suspect you?
Maybe I'll try it once.
No. No, you can't try it to see if you like it. Once you're on board, you can't get off the ship.
Oh.
You can understand why.
Yeah.
Well, now you have to make the next move, Stanley.
Frank, I've been on the straight and narrow all my life.
I'll testify to that.
Nobody worked harder than I did.
That's a fact.
But I'm just not making out anymore. All of a sudden... I look around, I've gone through all my savings, and for what? Just to keep my head above water.
I've been through the same thing, Stanley.
Maybe my wife is vain, but that's her right. Maybe some people would look at me and say, he wants the frivolous things of this world.
How much longer do you need to talk yourself into it?
Where do I go?
You don't go anywhere. He comes to you.
Oh, good evening. You must be Mrs. Morris.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Mr. Ackroyd. I'm sorry to disturb you at home, but I have some contracts to discuss with Mr. Morrison.
Oh, well, please come in. Stanley, a gentleman to see you. Won't you sit down, Mr. Ackroyd?
Oh, thank you.
Who rang the bell, Gladys?
Mr. Morrison, my name is Ackroyd. A mutual friend suggested that we might do some business.
Isn't that wonderful, Stanley? What business are you in, Mr. Ackroyd?
The removal business?
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember you, Mr. Ackroyd, and I have the pertinent information in my desk. Could you excuse us, darling?
Oh, certainly. And let me know if you gentlemen would like some refreshment.
Oh, that's so kind of you, Mrs. Morrison.
This way, Mr. Ackroyd.
Our mutual friend speaks highly of you, Mr. Morrison.
Well,
I have a contract for you. You must memorize all the details. All contracts are verbal. You can understand why. The gentleman's name is Everett Marshall. At this point, it's best you don't know who he is or what he does or why someone has purchased a contract for him.
Well, then how am I supposed to know?
The right man? We'll handle that detail for you. You have your own weapon. I've been assured it's in excellent condition and that you're an expert in its use. You'll be on the northwest corner of Garfield and 3rd tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock sharp. Nervousness is perfectly normal. The first time.
I'm not sure I can go through with it.
But you can. You must. Oh, this envelope is for you.
What's in it?
Your fee. $2,500. Take it.
But I...
We pay in advance.
$2,500.
All for you. Well, till tomorrow.
Oh, Mr. Ackroyd. May I offer you something to drink?
Oh, thank you. I'm afraid I have a pressing engagement.
Well, another time, then.
Oh. It must be the Boston Symphony. An unbelievably lucid blend of brass and strings.
Yes, it is.
Well, Good night.
Night. You know Stanley? He's such a nice man.
Ah, Mr. Morrison, on time. Good sign. Join me? And now then, in just a few moments, your client, Mr. Everett Marshall, will emerge from that building across the street. He's a tall, stout gentleman. There he is. He has that blonde girl on his arm. See them?
Yes.
They're headed for the cafe just up the block. And take this key. It will let you into the building. Walk up the stairs. Do not take the elevator to the second floor. First on your right, you'll see the number 215. Open the door with the same key. Go into the office and wait for him.
What do you mean, wait for him?
In 5 minutes, he shall receive a telephone call and he will come back to the office. As soon as he is inside, shoot him.
Shoot him?
Don't hesitate.
But suppose someone in the building happens to...
There is absolutely no one in that building at this time. After you shoot him, take the stairway at the other end of the hall. It leads to an alleyway around the corner.
But what if he brings her, the girl, with him?
He won't.
No,
you'd better be on your way. You have less than 3 minutes. And afterward, get rid of the revolver. Take it apart and toss it into the bay.
Arthur? What's the big idea asking me to get something out of the... Hey, who are you? No! Don't! Don't! No!
More coffee, darling?
I have to run.
Well, I know my coffee isn't much good, but is it that bad?
It's awful. Has Mrs. Soames found another job yet?
I don't think so.
Ask her to come back.
But can we afford her? I mean, what about the money?
Darling, don't worry about the money. It narrows your mouth and puts lines in your face.
But I thought we were having trouble making ends meet.
Well, they met finally. Anything in the morning paper?
Oh, the usual murder stories on the front page. A gentleman named Everett Marshall was found shot to death in his office last night.
Is that so? By whom?
Police think it was a burglar.
Morning, everybody. The door was open. I walked
in. Well, good morning, Frank. Coffee?
No, thanks. Stanley, you want to lift downtown?
Thanks.
Hey, what mischief are you boys up to this morning?
Mischief?
Well, a beautiful day like this, you might decide to play hooky and go to the club.
Oh, no. We don't do frivolous things together anymore. Stanley and I, we've become very serious people.
I'll bet.
Well, I see by the papers it went very well.
Oh, yes.
I thought I'd come by this morning because, I was very nervous after my first one. Maybe you'd need a lift.
I'm all right.
Well, that's good.
I don't know why. When I went up to that man's office, I was convinced I wouldn't be able to kill him. When I walked in that door and he saw me and a gun in my hand, I could look into his eyes. I could see my whole life in his eyes as if we're a motion picture screen.
You shouldn't think about these things.
And he said, no, don't. And I just aimed at the top button of his jacket as if I were shooting on the range. And I squeezed the trigger once, twice, and he fell. He was dead. And I simply walked out of that room, down that hall, down those stairs, into the street, over to the bay, got rid of the 38, and here I am. And I don't feel one tiny twinge of remorse. Frank, what happened?
To what?
To 40 years of education, of indoctrination, of belief in the value of human life. Of right and wrong, all the things we profess to believe in.
I don't know.
Do they get swept aside in the first storm? Frank, What happened to my conscience? Where is it, my conscience?
There's no explanation, Stanley.
Why am I so untroubled, so serene, so much at peace with myself? Is it possible that when we murder another human being, we also murder our own conscience? Because I tell you, Frank, mine is dead. What do you think?
Maybe you're right.
How's yours?
My conscience?
Yes.
Mine's dead, too.
As the poet said, conscience doth make cowards of us all. He's usually right, but perhaps Stanley and Frank are the exceptions that prove the rule. Well, it's an interesting problem. Can you kill a conscience? Or put it this way, in killing your conscience, what else do you kill? These questions require a third act for their solution, and I shall return in just a few moments.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see? To touch the heights you dare to reach? To know you're all that you can be?
Need a full-size car? Well, you came to the right place. Take LeSabre, a genuine family car with lots of nifty Buick touches and room for six. Or the elegant Electra, the car that wrote the book on Buick luxury. Or Riviera, the luxury car that's also a great personal road car. The full-size Buicks. If you're looking for a place where you and your free spirit can really get together, this is it.
I have a heart that goes bump, bump. And sometimes I can hear it thump. And Daddy says that in my chest, I have two things that are the best. They call them lungs, for breathing air. You never see them, but they're there. And if I breathe in air that's clean, I'll grow up like a dropping bean. Whenever I see any smoke, I'll run away before I choke. And something even better yet, I'll never smoke a cigarette. I'll breathe the air that's clean and free, so I can keep on being me.
Clear the smoke from your family image and from your lungs. And remember, your kids may never start. If you stop, quitting is tough, but your lung association says it's a matter of life and breath.
Is it a veneer, our morality, our code of ethics? This problem has occupied the attention of scholars throughout the ages. How deeply are we committed to the values we profess so vehemently in public? Some say man is basically evil, and some say man is basically good. And perhaps neither side is completely right or completely wrong.
Darling?
Hmm?
I'm afraid I'm overdrawn at the bank.
I know.
You know?
Yes. Jack Carstairs has orders to call me when that happens, and I make the adjustment.
But, darling, I really should try to be more careful.
No. For you to be more careful with money would require too much time and effort. Why'd you turn off the music?
Because I want to tell you how much I love you.
Happy?
I'm deliriously happy.
I don't want you to have a worry in the world.
Stanley, why is it that suddenly, we have no more money worries?
Dear, it all has to do with judicious management.
Oh, how right you are. Judicious management. That's what Daddy used to say.
No, he used to say prudent management.
Oh, same thing. You know, darling, you look marvelous. You look so young, so happy, so... Well, I can't really explain it. Exhilarated, as if you were having the time of your life.
Well, I am.
Hello?
Hello, Stanley.
Oh, yes?
Stanley, would it be convenient to meet me at the Cafe Charleston on 9th and Dewey, say, in 45 minutes?
Certainly.
Thank you, Stanley.
Darling, was that very nice gentleman, I can't remember his name, the one who loves Mozart?
Your envelope, Stanley.
Thank you.
You'll find it contains $3,500. Your rating has gone up. From now on, this is your fee. Your client is a woman.
A woman?
Should that make a difference?
Well,
women have been agitating for equality, haven't they?
What did she do?
Does it matter?
No, but
the very cornerstone of our philosophy is complete disassociation from our clients.
I understand.
Your only contact with your client comes at the very end of his life. And then, only for a brief moment.
It's just that a woman...
Should it matter?
All right. Where do I go?
Her name is Alma Watson.
Coming, honey, coming. Hi, Reggie. Oh, I thought you were the...
Miss Alma Watson?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're Alma Watson?
Sure, I'm sure.
It wouldn't do for me to make a mistake.
The man's name is Paul Terry. His name is Jerome Kelly. He's hiding out in a little motel. Your classification's gone up, Stanley. You're a $5,000 man now.
Chris, got a minute?
Oh, hi, Stanley. Look, I'm swamped. Can't wait.
No, Chris, it can't wait. You want me to continue here?
What a question.
I want a 25% raise.
Oh, now, Stanley, you know the facts of life around here.
I'll quit.
You know what?
Take it or leave it.
But, Stanley, you know how Sullivan feels.
I only know what you tell me, Chris.
Now, see here, Stanley.
You can't get rid of me, and you know it. 25%.
Well, that's a lot of money.
Just for the rest of the year. After January 1, it goes to 30.
Well, Stanley, we have to talk about this.
I'm swamped with work, Chris. Besides, what's there to talk about? I said take it or leave it. That phony. He's been making himself look good at my expense. I never had the guts to stand up to him before. But you know something, Frank? Since I've taken on this sideline...
How about another round?
No, I had enough. As I was saying, since we've been engaged in our new activity, I'm another person.
I'll have another one.
I think you had enough, too.
Charlie, make it a double.
A double? You know, I'm not afraid of anybody or anything. Maybe that's what we're all about. You know what I mean?
No.
But maybe man is basically a hunting animal. Maybe we try to obscure that with a veneer of civilization.
You think so?
Well, look at how quickly we pierce that veneer.
Maybe we do, maybe we don't.
When we get down to it, what's it all about? Security.
Security?
And what I define as my security, my home, my woman, my child, my property, I'll kill for it. Each man defines what security means to him. And each man will kill for it. End of speech.
Stanley.
What's the matter, Frank?
I don't know.
You've been putting away a good deal of that booze, pal.
I know, and it doesn't help.
Well, what did booze ever help? And what help do you need?
Stanley, I want to get out.
Get out of what?
You know what.
Frank.
I can't sleep. I see people's faces. You know which people I mean.
Frank, if you'd stop drinking...
Have you seen any faces yet, Stanley?
Of course not.
You will.
Remember that day, that first day? Oh, good Lord, how I wish I'd never gotten you into it.
Are you crazy? You've solved all my problems.
You wanted to know what happens to your conscience? Huh? Huh? We thought maybe you kill it. You don't. It just goes to sleep. And all of a sudden, it wakes up.
Well, regardless, Frank, we have a practical problem. You simply don't quit. Does Aykroyd suspect?
I'm sure he does. I begged off the last couple of assignments. Claimed I was sick. I can't keep it up forever.
Can you arrange to go away for a while? Get some rest. You'll see things differently.
Do you know what I keep seeing in front of my eyes? Oh, don't laugh. No. Big letters of fire. And they say, thou shalt not kill.
Oh, Frank, get hold of yourself.
I'll try. I'll try.
You'll be all right.
Here's your envelope.
Thank you.
It will be necessary to violate our basic philosophy just somewhat in this particular case. But then, rules were made to be broken. Oh, here we are.
No, wait, this is the building. This is the building of the publishing company. We're...
And here he comes now.
Frank!
He's going round the corner to the parking lot where it's dark and deserted. Follow him there. Kill him.
But he's my...
He's your client.
I can't kill Frank.
Why not?
I...
Stanley, Frank is being killed for just this very reason. You refuse to accept a contract. Now go to the parking lot and shoot him.
No.
What's to be gained by your refusal? Someone else will be assigned to kill him. And to kill you, too.
I wish I'd never gotten into this.
Well, that's not true. The rewards have been spectacular.
But, Frank...
And if it is true, shouldn't you be eager to kill Frank? After all, he's the one who did get you into it. Quickly, Stanley, before it's too late.
Stanley? Is that you?
Yes.
What are you doing here? Oh. Oh, I see. Well, go ahead. I don't care. It has to happen. It may as well be you as anyone else. Oh, don't stand there. Do it. You know you're supposed to do it right away. Don't wait. Don't delay. Just pull the trigger and walk away.
I can't.
You've got to. You can't save me. No one can save me. I don't want to be saved anyhow.
When you see the faces, do you hear the voices, too?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm hearing them. When do you stop hearing them?
I don't know.
When do you stop seeing them?
I guess when you're dead.
Is this how it happened to you?
You better kill me. Before it's too late for you.
It's too late for me now.
I don't have a chance. Try to save yourself.
No, I'll never lose those voices, the faces. Look, have you got your gun?
Yeah, in the glove compartment.
Let's kill him.
Who?
Aykroyd.
We'll never get away with it.
Does that matter? Come on, buddy. He's in that car, all alone.
No, he's not alone. See that car across the street? He's got some people in it. Maybe he felt he couldn't trust you.
Stanley, I know it's a difficult assignment, but it has to be done. Stanley, you can't get away. The block is surrounded. Now, you just do what's necessary, and everything will be fine.
I can hit him from here.
Stanley, I don't care anymore. Save yourself.
That's just what I'm trying to do. Save myself.
Stanley, let me hear it.
Yeah, I'll let you hear it.
Don't shoot him, Stanley. It won't help.
Shut up. It's not an easy shot. Now. Got him.
Let's try to get out of here. They're shooting at us.
Frank! Frank, I don't hear the voices anymore. I don't see the faces. Do you?
No.
No.
Frank!
Oh! Frank!
The newspapers, the authorities, none of them knew what you and I know. There was a gunfight on the street between two respectable citizens and a group of people, some of whom are known criminals. The story the police seem inclined to believe is that a bank was about to be burglarized when Mr. Stanley Morrison and Mr. Frank Smith happened along and decided to perform their citizenly duties. Both men died heroes' deaths, and they will be honored at special funeral services. I shall return shortly.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus strainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
In God We Trust, America Speaks. George Washington remarked during the Constitutional Convention, "Let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can repair. The event is in the hands of God." Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
The human conscience, certainly the most elusive component in man's makeup. It may slumber for years and awake without warning. Our cast included Howard Da Silva, Joan Lovejoy, Bob Caliban, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
He can't play with soldiers' toys anymore.
No. He's not playing, Frau Müller. It's as if he's experiencing a religious...
10 years ago, when he was 12 years old, in 1917, we learned that his father fell in France. Since that day, he has been dumb. He refuses to speak.
And he has made himself a little shrine. Now I understand. Now I know how to talk to him.
Oh, doctor, don't go near the table. Don't touch anything on that table.
Ah, Larry.
Come, Eric. Put away that bayonet.
I only mean to...
Put down the bayonet. Come,
Eric.
No.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Listerine Lozenges and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN Portland, Music Radio 97. It's 12 midnight. Bill Garrity's wearing that shirt again.
CBS News. The man who exposed the My Lai massacre says the Army had and still has a plan to deal with civil disturbances and that the plan involves imposing martial rule. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Ron Reidenhauer says in the magazine New Times that the Pentagon has a plan called Cable Splicer, which would use National Guard with Army officers to quell civil disturbances. Reidenhauer claims that between 1968 and 1972, the Guard and the Army staged and used domestic war games to prepare for possible martial law. The Arizona National Guard confirms such a plan exists and says it's still in operation, but denies that it's designed to impose martial law. Pentagon officials say that Cable Splicer does exist and that it appears to be part of a bigger operation called Garden Plot. Garden Plot is a plan to be put into effect after city and state officials inform the president they cannot control civil disturbances with their own local resources. More news in a minute.
most successful selling cold medicine in the world is a little capsule. It's Contac. It contains no ingredients for aches and fever, no cough medicine, yet gives you longer relief per dose than any pill, any liquid. Full-time 24-hour relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. Contac. Its tiny time pills contain ingredients to work up to 12 hours. That's longer relief per dose from those symptoms than any pill, any liquid. So, give your cold a Contac. All day, all night. Full time. Use only as directed.
President Ford and his party are back from the Six Nation Economic Summit in France. Secretary of State Kissinger is pleased with the results.
The discussions took place in a really unusually harmonious spirit. The fears which some of us had that the others would bring pressure on us to accelerate what we think is a well-conceived economic program proved unfounded.
Kissinger said probably the most important thing to come out of the summit was a monetary agreement between the United States and France. The secret agreement is aimed at ending sharp currency fluctuations. Treasury Secretary Simon says he hopes that it will lead to a 20-country agreement to monitor currency exchange rates on a daily basis and intervene to stabilize them when necessary. 25 members of the House have gone to federal court to stop Commerce Secretary Rogers Morton and Interior Secretary Thomas Kleppe from promoting trade between American companies and Arab nations that blacklist foreign companies doing business with Israel. Leslie Stahl reports.
The congressmen, all Democrats, charged both secretaries with failing to actively oppose the Arab boycott against Israel. This is the third suit on the boycott filed against Commerce Secretary Morton, who is also facing a possible congressional contempt citation. The congressman spoke at a news conference. First, Robert Drinan of Massachusetts.
We are hopeful that the suit filed today on our behalf will complement other actions underway in the Congress and in the country and in the courts to bring the administration's complicity in this insidious boycott to a halt.
Bella Abzug of New York.
I think it's shocking that we continue to permit the president to remain silent with respect to the actions or the non-action of his own cabinet members.
Edward Koch of New York.
I really am distressed about the actions of Secretary Morton. I must confess in all candor, I'm glad he's leaving.
The congressman said they hope Elliot Richardson will not be confirmed as Morton's successor unless he opposes the boycott. Leslie Stahl, CBS News, Washington.
Now this message.
As new as this minute, that's Newsbreak PM on most of these stations. I'm Charles Collingwood, CBS News. On Newsbreak PM, I'd like to choose for comment something that has a particular meaning to the day. It may be a new development, a social issue, what someone's done or said. Whatever I find timely and interesting, I'll share with you on Newsbreak PM. Join me Monday through Friday on most of these CBS radio network stations.
This is Anita Bryant. Performing is a very exciting part of my life, and I also love coming home to a caring husband and four active, growing children. I count being a wife and mother as one of my most challenging opportunities. I'm glad to be a wife, and I feel good being a mother.
You are a worthwhile person. Cultivate your God-given talents as you choose your lifestyle. This affirmation of women shared by the Mennonite churches.
Spain's Generalissimo Franco has had another intestinal hemorrhage. Doctors attending him say the bleeding is being controlled. Former Black Panther leader Eldridge Cleaver is scheduled to return to New York today after 7 years in exile. Cleaver faces parole violation charges, and California officials say he will be arrested as soon as he steps on American soil. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
6 minutes after 12 midnight on Music Radio 97. My name's Bill Garrity. I'll have local news for you at 12:30.